Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities. From the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
Hello, everyone. It is another episode of Money Honeys with Freddie,
Chantel,
and Devin.
You know the drill. We're just trying to secure the bag, enjoy the bags that we've secured. And, you know, pass down those bags to create generational bags, you know? I guess the proper term is generational wealth.
Yeah, generational bags is better.
It's way better. Generational bags.
Like less emotional bags and more generational bags.
Generational bags.
A swap.
Yeah, a little swap.
Please and thank you.
Yes. Well, that is right. We're actually today going to be diving into something that I feel like a lot of people tiptoe around, which is how can we make sure that our assets and everything we've worked so hard for are protected and are going to the right places once we are no longer here. Yes, we are talking about living trusts and wills today, ladies.
I've been needing this episode.
I haven't even thought about this before in my life.
I'm like, since I like have some assets, I'm like, I know I need a living trust, but I don't know really what it is. I don't know how to get one, and I don't know where to start. It's confusing.
It is.
Well, you're in the right place, ladies. We're going to learn today. But before we jump into that, how have your weeks been going? What's happening? How are we feeling this week?
Oh man. Well, I just started a new job.
Yes.
Hey.
Yeah, I have a new job. I'll talk about it later, I think, and talk more about what I do, but it's a full-time job with a salaried position. And let me tell y'all something. Because I hopped into my new job and then immediately started hiring because we were building out a team, right? And I had thoughts and feelings about accepting a full-time job after being freelance for 2-ish years. A lot of like, I don't know if I want to do full-time anymore, blah, blah, blah. Like, talk to me about your in-office policy, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, wow, I get it. Even though the trade-in is like getting paid every religiously and the same number every 2 weeks, people are like, I don't know if I want to get in bed with an industry, with a company anymore.
Yeah.
So it was interesting. I judged myself for having like these feelings of PTSD for getting in bed with a full-time job and position. But it's also like validating that the people I'm interviewing are having the same thoughts and feelings.
Yeah.
So a little bit about me.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I think obviously a lot of it has to do with the past 2 years and what we've been going through just globally. I think it has made people think twice about like, okay, now what are you guys going to require out of me?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When I may not have the best mental health day or when, you know what I mean? Like it's just kind of, I think people are wanting more of that flexibility that we've had. And the idea of working full time, I think for some is a little scary.
Right. Yeah.
Definitely is for me.
Yeah.
Because also like full time changed over the pandemic when we started working from home. And I saw this because I was in full time position at NBC when the pandemic started. And then there was like this weird 6 weeks where we didn't know our work hours. Yeah. Like I was getting messages from my boss at 12:30 because he was up. And like we indulged that because we were all kind of recalibrating as the pandemic was starting. And luckily for me, like I kind of got out of that situation and reestablished a new routine. But I think a lot of folks stayed in that situation where they were like talking to their bosses on Slack first thing when they got up in the morning and like right before they go to sleep. And I think people are just like, I don't know if I can do that anymore.
Yeah.
you know.
It's exhausting. Mm-hmm. It's exhausting.
How about you, Shanti?
I've just been in the throes of wedding planning.
Yes, in the throes.
The throes.
Tell me about it.
Booked our DJ.
Yes. Ooh.
We have two.
I recall there being multiple DJs.
We got two. Amazing. Two ladies.
Incredible. Yeah.
It's going to be great. I'm trying to figure out like a wedding outfit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, don't worry. We're here for you.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just like, ugh, this shit's so expensive. So I'm like, we can just go to Aritzia.
Aritzia. Get out.
Like, I'll just like put something together. You know?
It was funny because you don't have a maid of honor or any bridesmaids, but no. The person who is kind of your maid of honor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's kind of assuming that role.
Shout out to Julie.
She emailed us this week and was like, okay, so here are the plans. You can come to whichever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm coming to all of it.
Yeah, I was like, I don't want anyone to feel like obligated, especially for like, because the dress shopping portion really is for like Julie and my mom. So they're both like, well, we want it. And I was like, okay, I won't order something online then. But I was like, I might end up doing that anyways.
You're absolutely not going to do that. You just want to have the experience of walking into a place. And,
Yes. Well, I'm excited. So I was like, all right, I'll do it.
Are you already over budget? With what?
You know, the budget is, as George would say, a living organism.
It's fluid.
It's a living, breathing document.
Yes. So the budget.
Oh, no.
I mean, it's like my budget. I'm just kind of I'm a little bit more like, OK, as we book stuff and get it solidified, then it's easier to kind of like, all right, so let's not go for like the most expensive option on this, or let's see if we can negotiate with like the bartender. Mm-hmm. Let's see what we can, you know, for apps. Can we just like do our own situation?
Yeah.
That's going to be really good. But can we just do our own situation versus like a catering company where they're like, that'll be $12,000. And I'm like, absolutely
for
not.
Chips and salsa? Ma'am. Ma'am. You're just going to put out a little tortilla tostito kind of thing. That's not $12,000.
Chips and salsa is a really good idea.
It's the best snack. I will die on this hill.
It's my favorite. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite snack in the world. Anyways, so yeah, that's been my stuff. What about you, Fred?
Yeah, Fred, what's going on?
So it's been a pretty chill week. I will say this week, something that got me excited was getting that email alert from Redfin, because that's where I found my house from. And, you know, once you actually buy, and I didn't work through the site, but I guess somehow they know. They know that I bought the house.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've been listening.
Yeah. And so they they told me just about like how much the value has increased just since I purchased the home in September. And I got really excited and was actually a little shocked and surprised by just like the rate at which appreciates. I mean, it's gone up about 30K.
Mm-hmm. And you've put a lot of work into it in modernizing it. Yeah. And so that's not even the factor, because they don't even know about your remodels.
Yeah. So I definitely like that was something that almost made something click immediately in my head, and I was like,
yep.
It
sounded like that.
Yes, it worked. It worked.
Wow.
Right on time. Yes. I was like, wow, like I really do have, like, this is an asset. Like, this is something that I want to make sure remains and stays in my family if I like were no longer here. Mm-hmm. And you know, then I started going down this wormhole of like wills and all these things. And I started talking, you guys know AT, our good friend Alexis Tirado actually is in the estate planning process right now just to, you know, take measures to make sure that everything is protected. And she was telling me, she was like, did you know that like in California, like a will isn't enough?
What? What do I have to do now? Come on.
It's always something.
It's always something.
I'm like, what do you mean a will isn't enough?
Being in your 30s is like, oh, I'm still cute. I'm still baby. And then you realize you're not still baby. And there's all these things that you have to do. And you're like, oh, I don't want to do that. Yes. I was on TikTok the other day. And they were like, did you know there's this vent behind your stove that you have to clean? I was like, no, stop finding things for me to clean. I sign off. I'm done. I'm going to sleep. Like, I don't want to know about anything other, more responsibilities. I'm done.
I just want to watch my shows.
Yeah.
I want to watch my shows, play my new little drums, play my piano.
And yeah, we have yet another thing to tackle, and it's not easy. No. It's not easy. So find out what I mean after the break.
Hey there. Ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again, because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
And we are back. With headphones now, because Ooh. Our guests will be joining us soon. Mm. But before we jump into that, I just want to get like a quick gauge of the situation. Personally, I haven't put any thought into my will or any kind of living trust situation. I guess it's something that I thought that I would tackle, like, honestly, like when I have kids, like to have, you know, someone to pass things down to. Did you guys have like a certain age that you were planning on sitting down and even tackling, like figuring out who gets what when you pass? Like, Chantel, you seem like you would have a running doc of like all your assets, who gets what? Like,
yeah, I mean, my timeline for this was like 5 years ago, basically, and I have yet to do it because I know it's like once you have assets and that's when you should kind of like be doing like a living trust and stuff like that and like a will so that like the condo doesn't go into probate, all that stuff. But I haven't done that. And it's one of those things that I'm like, my understanding of it is, I would say, 10 out of 100.
Okay.
And it needs to be more. And I'm like, I don't know how to find more knowledge about it, because it's like everything that I looked up online, it's like very complicated. And like, I feel like few people, aside from honestly probably like attorneys, actually 100% understand what it is. Yeah. And so I've like tried to ask different like quote unquote adults. And they're like, well, it's like this, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, oh, you don't know either.
Yeah, they don't really know.
No.
You don't know either. And so, of course, me as a 26-year-old was unable to understand it or even know how necessary it was. Yeah. And then now, as a 30-year-old, I'm like, oh, I need that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Dev?
Well, I recently just gave my boyfriend, Patrick, we know him, we love him. I just gave him a list of all my internet passwords. So I feel like I'm on my way.
You're on your way.
You know what I mean? Like,
same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah. So yeah. If I croak, at least he can log into my Instagram. So, you know, I'm there. I'm already thinking about it.
Got it. Yeah. It's I mean, the most important priorities go first.
Wait. Yeah. My assets are my cats. And you know what? Yeah. They're going to go wherever they want to go.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Bones already does. He's an escape artist.
Yeah. My cats. Yeah. So, no, I have not thought about this at all. And I'm a little scared. My sphincter is a little clenched going into this conversation. I really don't know what to expect, because we're talking about death. We're talking about paperwork.
Yeah.
And we're talking about, like, it seems, my understanding is, like, once you die, the government companies all come in and try to swoop up the things that you want or that you have. So that's stressful too.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I mean, okay, when I tell you guys that when Alexis told me that, like, based on, and it's state by state, but we all live in California and California laws pretty much, you know, let us know that, like, a will upon death, your assets and everything that you've worked super hard to accumulate your entire life can just end up.
Where?
With the state.
No.
Yeah, just with the state. And that is just like you, it made me very stressed out, to be honest. I mean, tax time comes around every year. I get angry because I know it's not going where it needs to be going.
Right now.
You know what I mean? So then the idea of the government seizing these things that I work super hard for just because, you know what I mean? And when you, and like, just, you know, in my head, I was like, oh, yeah, I will. Sure. Like, there should be a way that I can just, you know, pass all my assets on to my parents or other family members. But, like, you need a living trust. So we have an estate planner in the building via Zoom, but I just like the term in the building.
She's in the building.
Who's going to help us figure out the best way to protect our assets when our time is up. We have Christina Agajanian. She is an attorney who focuses on estate planning, trust administration, and probate. Hey, Christina.
Hello.
Hi, ladies.
Hi.
Thank you for having me on.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
You too.
Thank you so much for coming to our show. So, okay, let's, I guess, jump right into it. Can you tell us a little bit about how you even got into estate planning and what is estate planning, first of all?
Oddly enough, my very first job in high school was at an estate planning law firm. I just was an admin assistant there, and I found this area of practice to be really interesting, you know, learning about how wealth transfers to people, and when you pass away, you know, who gets that lamp, who gets the painting. Everything isn't done the way the Gilmore Girls tell us they're done. So essentially, you know, I thought it was really interesting. I dove deeper into it in law school. And, you know, I'm a California attorney. I've been practicing estate planning for about 7 years. And although it's not a fun topic for anyone to really discuss, it's definitely important for people to learn about it, at least, you know, so that you can avoid your assets going to the wrong people.
Mm-hmm. Come on, experience. You've been doing this since high school. Yes. I love that.
Yeah.
I'm loving this.
I've been in this for a little while.
Let's jump into it. Can you explain the difference between a will and a living trust? I think the two can be convoluted to someone who may not be actively in the estate process. I didn't even know that there was a difference. I thought that was a nickname for the other. I thought estate planning is just like code word for will.
I get it. I totally get it. Yeah, no, definitely. So let me start off by telling you a little bit what estate planning is, and then I'll get into the difference of those two documents. So just so you all know, if you live in California, you already have an estate plan. Whether you know it or not, the California Probate Code has basically decided where your things are going to go if you pass away without a will or a trust in place. And that's called, it's called intestate succession. So the code has decided where things go. So everything from your car, your house, your bank account, your jewelry, whatever you have has already been decided for you.
What?
So, yeah, that makes up your estate. Those things are your estate, and that's been decided by California. The way we avoid going with California's plan is you prepare a document like a trust or a will to basically say what you want to happen. Yeah, so, you know, let's talk a little bit about what a trust is. So I want you to think about a trust like it's a basket, okay? Imagine a basket, you're putting all of your things into this basket, and essentially, you're protecting them from probate. Probate, okay. P.S.
What is probate?
I want you to know that. Exactly, I should tell you what that is. So probate is when a judge has to oversee the distribution of your assets. So really, they're still going to look at what you have and where it goes and decide for you. So the trust is how we avoid that, okay? When you pass away with a trust, the administration of your estate is privately done. That means the court doesn't get involved at all, you know? The assets you put in that basket will be distributed to the named beneficiaries in your trust. So So really, you decide who gets what. You also decide who's in charge of your estate when you pass away.
Okay. I don't like the idea of California coming in. I don't like the idea of California coming in and telling me what to do with my stuff.
Yeah.
Because what is right. what has the state done for me?
Yeah. Right. It shouldn't be up to the state. Yeah.
All right.
So
sorry.
The difference.
Keep going.
No, you're fine. The difference between that and a will is really a document best used when someone doesn't really have any real estate or any intention of purchasing real estate in the future, or their assets are worth below the probate threshold, which is $166,250. So basically, if you're using a will, the court is still going to get involved in the distribution of your assets. And the main difference between these two documents is that a will is only used when you pass away, whereas a trust is used if you're incapacitated, meaning you can't handle your financial affairs anymore, or upon your passing. Okay.
So
they have different ways of being used.
So you know that one movie on Netflix that was like about what's her face taking advantage of old people?
Oh, yes.
Not thank you for leaving.
Yeah. I don't care or something.
Something like that.
I care a lot.
I care a lot. So does that happen to folks who don't have estates set up already?
You know, I can tell you there are a lot of bad people out there who take advantage of some naive or incapacitated individuals. It's, of course, awful and absolutely should not be done. But things happen, you know. In our state, you know, there's something called undue influence, where if somebody is forcing you to do something, they're unduly influencing you. So if they're forcing you to name them as a beneficiary, or you're being manipulated somehow, you know, those are grounds for litigation in the future. You know, family members might feel like a caregiver is taking advantage of their grandma or mom. But things like that happen. And we do have some laws in place to protect against that. But for the most part, you know, a movie's a movie.
Okay.
But things do happen.
But if you have an estate planned out, that can't happen to you. No one can come in because it's already been mapped out, right? Am I understanding?
Well, your estate plan can be modified. So if you have a revocable document, it can be modified over time. And if that does happen, you know, if somebody tries to get themselves named as the trustee on your trust or as a beneficiary, you know, if it's a revocable document and you have capacity, it's possible that your documents may get updated and change what the previous distribution said.
Oh, no.
Can you like lock some parts off to where it's like, okay, this stuff can change. Like, say I bought another house or another car and didn't get a chance to add it. But so it's like, okay, yeah, you can change that stuff. But I want to lock off the beneficiaries, or I want to lock off who can control my estate.
Yo, what's going on? Hope all is well. I'm Duke.
I'm Omar.
I'm Jalan, and this is Nice and Neat, the podcast.
We're three quintessential friends dedicated to the 360-degree development of men.
Our goal is to not only share our experiences, but offer as much value as we possibly can through the lessons we've learned along the way.
When I say we talk about everything, we talk about everything. Character, discipline, career development. Oh, and let me not forget, we get real personal.
Now make sure you subscribe so you never miss any of our episodes. Write a review, let us know what you think. Enjoy.
So really, as long as you have capacity, you're in charge of that document. You are the one who decides, and you're the one who has to sign, you know, the amendment or the restatement of your document. So as long as you have the ability to not make changes or make changes as you choose, somebody else should not be able to come manipulate you, right? And change things. Essentially, the plan that you put in place is locked unless you change it. So I want you to think of it like that. Your beneficiaries will be your beneficiaries unless you change it.
Okay.
So that's basically how it looks.
Okay. So you would say that the candidates for people, I would say candidates for living trusts are if you have, you know, a decent amount of assets. and then you would say the candidates for wills would be maybe someone who doesn't have as many or someone who doesn't have plans on purchasing a home and things like that.
You know, it really depends. So a common misconception people have is that, you know, trusts are only for, quote, rich people. Mm-hmm. That's not really the case. You know, if you own a home, if you have children, you know, or you have assets above that probate threshold, if you have pets that you're like, these pets have to go to these people, a trust is a better idea than a will. Because in California, the difference in cost of creating a trust versus probating your estate is substantial. You know, and having a will may not cover what happens in the future. You may create a will today because you don't have real estate, but next year you buy a house. Well, that will is not going to take care of the house and keep it out of the court system.
Oh.
But you do that is using a trust. So, you know, as soon as you buy that house, as soon as you have those kids, you should get a trust put in place, but it just makes sense to have the trust, you know, have that basket ready. And when you have stuff to put in it, put it in there. Mm. That's it.
You get it added in, a little add-on.
Yeah.
A little essential oil add-on.
Yeah, it's a little add-on there. You know, it's a big difference. The probate court has a fee structure. So that's set by the court. It's not up to us as attorneys. I don't decide how much I'm being paid for your estate if you pass away. So an example of the cost of probate is, you know, on $1 million estate, let's say you have real property worth $1 million, or all of your assets accumulated are come up to $1 million. You're looking at about $23,000 in executor fees. Executor fees are the fees paid to the person who's administering your estate. $23,000 going to attorney fees and additional court fees. So that's $46,000 that are basically just being thrown away, you know, that could have gone to the beneficiaries.
Does that come out of, that comes out your of estate. The pool? Yeah.
Oh my.
Yeah. So we hate
they
probate.
Have to sell that house. Yeah. If they have to sell that house to, you know, pay for that stuff, then that's what needs to happen. Because, you know, a lot of times people will inherit things that maybe still have a mortgage on it. Maybe they're not completely paid off, or that's where they live. Maybe a child inherits something and they live there and they can't afford to pay $46,000 to somebody just out of pocket. So, you know, it's not a great way to have your assets transferred to people. And the process can take up to 2 years in California. The court's so backed up.
I hate it here.
But yeah.
Yeah. I'm
so living trust can also just protect your family members or your loved ones after you pass so that they don't have to go into like financial hardship to take on your assets. And then it's like if they want to sell the house or if they want to sell a car, they can do that, but they're not doing it to pay for your fees, basically.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's basically preparing things and having things ready just in case. And it does, you know, when someone passes away, there's such a grieving time going on already. The burden of taking on loans and trying to figure out how to cover the cost of these things. Because like I said, the attorney doesn't decide when it comes to probate. It's set by code. So, you know, it's not like I can say, okay, give me $15, you know, and I'll take care of it for you. It's up to the court system.
We hate probate.
Yeah.
We hate probate.
Yeah, we don't like probate.
This is making me like want to go home and immediately take care of this stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
call me.
Exactly, Christina. Exactly.
Yes.
Christina, have you seen any cases where someone thought a will would protect everything they've earned in their lifetime and that wasn't the case? And like, what exactly happened? We've kind of touched on this, but do you have any personal like anecdotes of this experience? Yeah.
Unfortunately, because I practice probate as well, I have seen many cases like this. So, you know, oftentimes clients will come about that, you know, they're the child of someone who passed away, and maybe they're the quote good child who's been, you know, talking to mom, taking care of mom for many years. Mom lived in their house. after dad passed away, and the other kids basically have washed their hands of mom. Mm-hmm. Haven't seen her in 20 years, haven't been involved at all. And ultimately, according to the probate code, all of the kids are beneficiaries in equal shares. Mm. So that kid who's done everything for mom and is still taking care of, you know, the probate is ultimately, you know, getting less than maybe they deserved, or maybe less than what mom would have wanted them to get.
Yeah.
And that's not the case with everybody, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it may be, you know, I love all my kids equally and that's fine. This is just the one that happened to take care of me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there are many times where that's not what they would have wanted. Yeah. And when the court's getting involved and supervising the distribution of the estate, when you have these family dynamics, maybe there weren't good relationships, again, because of the probate code, the hard-earned money, the estate that lady had, ultimately is going to be split up amongst family members that maybe she didn't want to receive anything. So yeah, this can happen. This happens pretty often, actually. Oh, yeah. And it's not just with a kid. It might be, mom promised me this house. I've been paying the mortgage on the house she lives in for all these years. She told me I could have it once she passes. And again, it's split between like two kids. And they lose out on everything they put into that house.
And there's like literally nothing, like you can't even, there's nothing you can do. There's at that point, there's literally nothing. You can't like argue in court like, well, I've been here for 10 years. Like you can't.
You just hope that your sibling will is recognize. Good too. And is like, well, this, you know, if it's like, oh, this is what our parent would have wanted or something. But I feel like that's hard to come by.
That's rare, I feel like.
Right. And that's, you know, it gets a little complicated. I don't want to make it too confusing for your listeners. But when you have a situation where perhaps, you know, there's two kids who inherit and they have a good relationship with each other. And maybe, you know, we knew that daughter was the one who was paying the mortgage and son says, you know what, I'll give you the half that I'm going to get even through the probate court. I'll give you my half. That child can do that. But then there's a reassessment on the property taxes of the home. The transfer between siblings doesn't qualify for an exclusion from property taxes being reassessed. There's so much more that goes into it, and doing the appropriate planning beforehand will avoid all of this.
Right. Okay, that actually brings me to a really good question that I just thought of, because I had a maybe understanding of it, but I want to make sure that I'm actually correct. So, say I have a house in my in my living trust, and then that gets passed down to my child. All goes well. There's no complications there. But then the house doesn't get reassessed. So like the property taxes stay the same for my child versus it getting its new value and then property taxes and everything going up. Is that correct or incorrect?
It is correct, however, with a caveat. So Prop 19 was passed this past year, and it essentially says that if the child uses that home as their primary residence, again, I'm only speaking to California law here. If they use it as their primary residence, then there will not be a reassessment. However, if they do not treat it as a primary residence and they prefer to treat it as a rental, then there is a possibility of reassessment. So prior to Prop 19 being passed, we had that benefit of not having the reassessment. So as my clients would inherit things from their family members, they were able to hang on to them, use them to generate rental income because the property taxes were so low, house was paid off, it was great. But, you know, some things have changed.
Why
so
did they do that, if you don't mind me asking?
You know, you can ask the realtors about that one. A lot of agents, from what I understand, were really rallying for this to happen. And of course, other professionals wanted this to happen because of the fact that people were inheriting property at such low property taxes. They were hanging on to it. So these properties weren't getting freed up to be sold or to keep, you know, freeing up real estate in California. So they pushed for this thing of, well, when you inherit it, if you can't afford the property taxes, sell it. So now we have freed up some more inventory.
So that we can jack up the prices for the new tenants.
Yeah. And this was a thing we all voted on, right? This was like on our California ballots. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. It was voted on. Damn. And unfortunately it passed. So we don't know, you know, how long it'll last for, and when we can hopefully vote to change it back.
But yeah. Let's repeal that. How do we repeal? Let's repeal it now that we like understand what it is. We're like,
That's the thing. A lot of these things are not explained well. And so people feel like, oh, that's what they're saying on the ad, so that must be it. But there's a lot of other things that happen you know, as a result, consequences.
Yeah.
So for our listeners, what other states require living trusts versus a will?
Yeah, so because I'm a California attorney, I can't speak to what other states require, you know, a will over a trust over a will to avoid court involvement. But there are many states that do require a trust, you know, like California does, to avoid court involvement. I know in New York, I have a colleague in New York who's told me the probate process is a bit faster there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it really varies from court to court, state to state. You know, here in California, because we have such a large population, a lot of our courts closed down and were consolidated to our downtown court, Stanley Mott. So the probate court there is just so backed up that it's taking a long time. But yeah, every state is different.
Yeah.
Fun and cool. Cool and fun.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I
have a moral question. So say I'm like, okay, I now very much want to get into my estate planning. How do you even, I've never really like worked with attorneys before. How do you kind of like screen an attorney to make sure that they have your best interest at heart? Because it seems like such a huge decision so that your loved ones are taken care of and you're saving them of that emotional distress, the added distress of finances once you pass. How do you screen an attorney to make sure that they're really caring about all that for you?
Right. Yeah, that's a great question. I agree. You know, you want to have a good relationship with the estate planning attorney. You want to have a good feeling. You want to feel like they will be your advocate and help guide your, you know, your trustee with doing what they need to do. But in any case, you know, I think the most helpful thing to ask is if that attorney specializes in this area of law, you know, just like you go to a dermatologist for a skin issue, you're not going to go to the dermatologist and say, I have a heart condition. Can you tell me what's going on? Right. Mm-hmm. So I've had many clients come to me to redraft or, you know, fix mistakes made by like a bankruptcy attorney or a business attorney or someone who should not be doing this area of law because they do something else, right? So just find out if they specialize in the area of law. It will make a big difference in the quality of your documents. You may also want to ask about the cost to update your documents over time and what that would look like. You know, for example, our office follows up with our clients every 3 years just to check in. We want to make sure things haven't changed. If they have, we can talk about it and see if it may warrant an update, you know, or, hey, we thought about that when we talked that last time, so we don't need to update your documents. You're good. I'll talk to you in 3 years again. So, you know, it really depends on how their style of working is and keeping their relationship with the client. But I think it's important for you to feel comfortable that you can talk to them if you have questions. That's really important.
Sure. So how much does it actually cost to draw up a will versus drawing up a living trust?
Yeah. So the cost really depends on the size of the estate, the type of planning that needs to be done. You know, I can't give you a number because it will depend on many factors.
Right.
Things like things that come up during the consultation, like discussing tax consequences, planning for minor children, planning for a business, intellectual property you may have. It really depends. I have, you know, our clients, we have a lot of entertainment clients, mm-hmm. and depending on what we need to focus on, that will drive the type of planning I do. And, you know, we want to make sure that their intellectual property, you know, continues to create royalties for their family, you know, and things like that. So it depends on how complicated it gets. And you may not think your estate is complicated, but once we start talking, there might be things that you're like, oh, I didn't even think about that. I didn't even realize that I could do this, or my IRA will do that. You know, there are things that come up during the consultation and during the planning process. So, yeah.
If you are married, do you need, do you and your spouse need to have individual living trusts? Or if you're both okay with it being combined, is that something that can happen?
Absolutely. So it really, again, will depend on the assets. So is there a prenup? If there is, we need to review that. Are there assets jointly held, or are most of them separate? You know, does wife have 3 or 4 condos in her name and husband has a house in his name and they want to keep things separate for some reason? That's fine. They could do 2 separate plans. But if for the most part, because we are a community property state, if for the most part they consider everything joint, they're both on title, or, you know, one of them gets added on title on a property, they can have a joint trust. Absolutely. That would be the most, I would say for married couples, that's the most common, is to do a joint trust.
Is there like a little discount if it's like, we're going to both do this one? And
you know, it costs less to do a joint plan.
There we go.
There we go.
It's only one. It's only one trust than doing 2 separate ones.
We love a quasi coupon code.
We do.
A BOGO moment.
A BOGO, if you will.
Love it. Yeah.
You will. Wow. I am just like over here. My brain is just almost about to explode. Like, this is a lot to wrap my head around, especially because it's not something that I think any of us really, you know, have been actively planning on getting done. I mean, we've, you know, it's been in the background of our heads, you know, for a while, but I think like this is definitely, it's making me want to, you know, put my foot on the gas a little bit.
Yeah, this has been so informative for me.
Well, we joke a lot about on this podcast about how we have to protect our money from Uncle Scam, but Uncle Scam is coming for your money even when you die, even after death.
Yeah, and it is. This country is a lot.
And listen, I would be fine with giving my money to California when I die if I knew that California was doing something with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm not. I don't know.
No. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. I don't have any other questions.
No, I have to go think and meditate.
Yeah. I've been so informed. Yeah. I feel like I know 10,000 times more. Now,
yeah,
than when I walked in.
Absolutely. Like, yes, Christina, thank you so much. Thank you so much for being with us and educating us on how not to get screwed posthumously. Like, that is, it's very important. And I think it's really important to put some thought into that to make sure that your loved ones or whoever is not the least stressed out as possible.
Yeah.
Where can the people find you, Christina?
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you, ladies, so much for having me on. It's been a pleasure talking to you. I hope I didn't scare anybody.
No.
You know, estate planning should not be scary. I know nobody wants to talk about this stuff, but, you know, we try to make it as simple as possible and essentially, you know, make it something that you're just going to do once and put away and not think about it anymore. But, you know, for anyone in California who has questions about their own estate plan, they can find me at Link Law. Inc. or on Instagram, Yelp, and on linklaw.com. And, you know, we're proud to be an entirely female law firm. We're located in Glendale, California, but we help clients all over California. I have clients in NorCal and Southern California. So, you know, if anyone has questions, always feel free to reach out.
Thank you, Christina.
Amazing.
Thank you so, so much. And maybe we'll have you back on. I think there's probably still going to be some lingering questions.
I'd love to come back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So thank you so much.
Thank you. This has been so, so great.
Y'all, I'm dead, actually, from all this information. I'm actually deceased. I had no idea it was a thing. And I'm going to need to go home and meditate about my options.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, like, I do feel so much more empowered now that I understand what it is.
Yeah.
Because even with my partner's dad very unexpectedly and quickly passed, and he had all of this stuff in order. And so it was like, go to, like, top drawer of the dresser. That's where the living trust is. Here's where the will is. Here's, like, the attorney to call to, like, enact it and all that stuff. And so he was, like, the absolute most prepared. And it was still so emotionally taxing that I cannot imagine having to go through that as a family without having these documents. Like, true, it would have been, like, just absolutely excruciating.
Yeah.
Like, crazy, you know? It was already, like, the most painful thing.
Yeah.
But if we had to think about all this stuff, I truly cannot even imagine.
Crazy making.
Yeah.
Cannot even imagine. Yeah. So I'm, like, I'm so pro living trust, especially now that I know what it is.
Yes, absolutely.
After we finish this podcast, call your parents or call a lawyer. Like, that's all we do.
Make sure you and all your loved ones have this stuff enacted. Living trust if they need it. Will if they need it. Living trust and will if they need it.
Yes.
All of it.
Absolutely. Until next week.
See you then.
See you then.
See you then.
Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.